Welcome to Highway to Health. I'm Jeremy Quinby. This is episode 121 of the podcast. If you're new to the show, I want to welcome you. Highway to Health is your place for trusted health guidance and support. Whether you're looking to improve your health or just seeking ways to stay well, we're here for you. This growing community is on a mission to improve our state of being and experience together on the planet. And if you love the resource that you get here at Highway to Health, consider becoming a health amplifier today. This project is a labor of love, but it requires funding to continue to build and stay true to our mission. And you may have noticed that we don't have any annoying ads and are not bombed by corporate interests. But that means we do need your support, which you can provide for the price of a cup of coffee once a month by going to patreon.com/highwaytohealth. Your donation is helping make this quality resource available to anyone in need. So I started this podcast when Phoenix was 13 years old. And so for anybody who's been listening to the podcast over the last almost 6 years, it's hard to believe, you can kind of see the way that Phoenix has picked up maybe things from me, maybe things from his friends, his culture, and the way he's starting to kind of figure out how to put things together for himself and take care of himself. And he's pretty honest about, you know, things he's doing well, things he's not doing well, and things that he's really working on trying to improve. But we kind of go through the last year of his life and look at the way that he is really managing a very dynamic situation in college, which for anybody who's ever been through it knows that you're working to, you know, figure yourself out. You're working to have a job and think about what kind of work you want to do. It's a very intense and dynamic time period. And I feel like he's doing pretty well. So this is a good one for anybody who is maybe going through transition or anybody who has a younger person either in college or preparing for college. Hope you enjoy this one. This is my conversation with my son, Phoenix. Tell me about the first year of college.
It was good. I enjoyed it. Made a lot of good friends. You know, living in a dorm, you learn communal showers aren't the best.
And that's for sure.
You know, everyone's really close. Me and my roommate, you know, we didn't have that big of a room, so
yeah,
I was around that guy a lot.
Yeah, forced bonding.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that, but yeah. I was fine with the bonding.
Have you guys managed to stay in touch over the summer?
Yeah, as a group. Went out to the casino.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Early July.
Yeah.
That was a fun little trip. I enjoyed that.
And you guys text and have a little group chat going on or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Talking with one of them right now, too.
And you have another kind of relationship this year.
Yeah, that's right. I have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Coming up on a year?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You guys have plans? You've celebrated 6 months and 9 months and...
Really, it's been every month.
Every month, yeah.
To be fair. But, yeah, her birthday is pretty close to our anniversary. So, I've got two different plans going on.
Okay.
Two separate things.
Don't talk about them here. She's going to hear this.
Oh, no. Don't worry.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything. Nothing's spoiled. I know she's going to like them.
Okay, good.
When the time comes.
You guys know each other pretty well at this point.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
She's a big, big soccer fan. Bigger than me, which is shocking.
It is shocking, actually. Seems almost impossible.
Yeah. She's a big Man City fan.
A big Man City?
Yeah, Manchester City.
So is that an issue with your favorite team, Leicester? Or is Leicester still your favorite?
Leicester's still my favorite.
Okay.
City, it's like me and Sarah kind of got this thing. It's like, Leicester's her second team, and City's my second team.
Oh, that works.
So that's kind of how we go about it.
So you're still rooting each other on, unless they play each other in something.
Yep. Then
it's going to be tricky.
Yeah, City, man, her team's gotten the better of me recently. So, yeah. But we'll see what happens. I always cheer on my team whenever I can.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know, it's a fun little thing that we both like.
What was the difference in lifestyle this year? Being like out of the house, just being in the dorms, all the possible things you could do on a weekend or a weeknight.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot more possibilities.
What time did you get to sleep on average?
12:30.
It's not terrible.
On weekends, weekends is very variable.
Yeah, oh yeah.
One night it could be 11, Next night it could be 3 a.m.
Yeah.
It's just like stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's just, because, you know, a lot more happens on the weekends.
And you're thinking like, okay, I want to get up early tomorrow. I want to get this stuff accomplished. And you're kind of keeping an eye on the time. It's like 9 o'clock. Oh, it's still early. Sweet.
Yeah.
And you look
yeah.
at the clock again. You're like, okay, it's only 11. Then you look at the clock again. It's like 2:30.
Yeah. You lose track of time. That's something that just happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it was a lot of fun, and I'll be doing it all again next in a couple weeks, moving in the second.
Yeah, was it hard to prioritize like all the new things you had to sort of take responsibility for?
I will say that my schooling was pretty easy.
Okay,
so obviously some of my friends, they are pre-med, they're taking biology. They're taking O-Chem next semester.
Yeah.
Just the classes that they have going on is just so much harder than mine. Because of what my class load was like, I was able to prioritize my things pretty easily.
Yeah.
So I would say I had an easy adjustment, but I feel like others might have had a little bit more of a struggle.
Yeah. Do you think that came from like practice of doing this in high school? Like you were in a better like way of operating with your priorities in high school?
I would say yeah. Because usually what I would do is Sunday nights, I would just bang out as much homework as I can.
Yeah.
Pretty much clear up my whole week, and then I can kind of just relax and take my classes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's smart. You think this year is going to be harder?
This first semester, I don't think so. I only have 4 classes. Well, technically 5, but one's online.
Okay.
I haven't heard the worst about them. But I think obviously some classes will be easier, some classes will be harder.
You taking any risks? Any things that you're like, I'm interested in this, but not sure if I'm good at it?
I am taking leadership.
All right, that seems like a good one.
My girlfriend recommended it. Okay. She said that I should take it.
Yeah.
She thinks I'd be a good fit.
Yeah.
And obviously I did classes that would like clear up a lot of electives or, you know, allow me to open up my schedule a little more. But yeah, I took leadership because, you know, she recommended it. And I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I heard good things about the professor. Other than that, none of my other classes are really risks.
Yeah.
I mean, cultural studies, accounting, and business statistics.
Okay.
So, you know, pretty basic stuff.
Have you had anything like statistics before?
So this business stats class is a little different. It's the first year of this class. Obviously, there was a class before it. But they changed it.
Okay.
And it's more programming heavy, it sounds like.
Okay.
Which is not the greatest thing for me to hear.
Right.
Because not the most program savvy guy.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to try something that challenges you, even if you're like, I'm not doing that ever again.
If push comes to shove, I can always drop it. But this is one of these classes that I have to take.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I really have a choice to drop it.
Yeah.
So. Exactly. It'll be fine.
Whatever. I think the leadership one is going to be kind of an interesting one because you ended up kind of taking some leadership roles like this last couple of years, like Model UN.
Yeah.
You had, what was your role exactly?
I was policy and procedure, though on my LinkedIn, I've put public outreach, so I need to change that.
Okay.
Because when I hung out with the president of Model UN not too long ago.
Yeah.
Or presidents, I should say.
Yeah.
They were like, yeah, I thought you were policy and outreach or policy and procedures. Like, oh, yeah, I was.
Yeah, okay.
I got to fix that.
Yeah. You can make it sound fancier if you want to, too. You don't have to. I mean, this is what everyone does on their LinkedIn. It's senior vice president of blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I could say policy and outreach board. No, policy. Not, stop. No. Policy and procedure board. See, look.
Board. There you go.
I'm mixing them up already.
Yeah.
There we go.
And then I think like your jobs, you ended up like, it sounds like even when you worked in the grocery store, there was like, people kind of look to you for some kind of direction, it seemed like. And then this summer you've had the management internship. You want to talk about that at all?
Maybe a little bit. You know, just wrapped that up actually yesterday.
I know.
Yesterday was my last day.
I haven't seen you for like a week.
Yeah. I mean, these last 3 days I work a lot. Sometimes we'd have night games. Get off at 12:30 a.m. and I have to be back at 8 a.m. the next day.
And what is, where is the management internship?
It's at Target Field.
Yeah.
Go Twins.
Target Field. So man managing concessions.
Yeah.
And so it's what are the duties of the job? Like people management.
Yeah. So a lot of
stocking.
A lot of people management, some stocking, you know,
paperwork.
Oh, yep. Got to go through a lot of paperwork, Excel spreadsheets. Those are fun.
And a lot of walking.
Oh, yes. You should see my phone on those days. I walk 20,000, 25,000 easy.
Wow.
Do you
get to get it and like sneak in and watch a little bit of the game?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Because the sections that I would usually put in, they weren't the worst. They weren't that busy.
Yeah.
So obviously I would do my job right, like any normal manager should do.
Right.
But I'd have chances to sneak in every now and then, check how the game is going. A lot of the times I don't even know what's going on.
Right.
You know, someone comes to me, he's like, game's over, we won. It's like, we did? Cool. I didn't know the game was over.
Do you? How close do you get to the field? Are you up a little bit when you're watching?
So, I mean, really, I could get as close as I want, but most of the time I was up at the terrace, so I didn't get too close, I guess. But I could kind of just walk in any section and take a little pop a squat.
You can't get on the field, though.
Nope, can't get on the field. See, on the field is Twins personnel only.
Okay.
I was with a separate company, so.
Okay, gotcha.
That's not going to happen. Unless someone on the field wanted a hot dog, then, like, maybe I could go on the field and give them a hot dog.
Right. Okay, so best and worst parts of the job.
I think the best part of the job for me was just, like, I learned a bunch of stuff when I was there. You know, look, obviously, when you go to a baseball game, concessions aren't your top priority, but there's just so much going on to like get them up and running. Like yesterday, we ran out of hamburger buns.
Ooh.
So obviously, you could go down to commissary, but there's nothing there. So what we had to do is we had to move them around one stand to another, back to this one stand, you know. It's just part of the job.
Moving buns.
The day before, we were out of hot dog buns.
Wow.
It's the same thing. Moving buns around from one place to another. It's a lot that's going on that I never thought about.
Yeah.
And I don't think the average fan does either.
Right. It's kind of like seeing behind Oz's curtain.
Yeah, behind the scenes, yeah.
What was the most interesting part of that? Like in terms of like the interworkings of like what goes on to make a game happen?
It's a lot. But, you know, to be honest, considering how, this company feeds 20,000 to upwards of 40,000 fans a game.
It's crazy.
It's crazy how few people are in leadership. They have one concessions manager and one assistant concessions manager. And then it was me and three other interns and then and then a handful of supervisors.
So like 10 tops.
10, 15 people, yeah.
Wow.
And that group of people got the whole concessions process going. It's crazy.
And you're making like $15 an hour.
$16.
Not
minimum wage. Not minimum wage. It's very easy to hit overtime on that job.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Obviously, I didn't work as much as the other guys because I ref soccer games too.
Yeah.
But yeah, those games you could, like those jobs like that, you could rack up, like I racked up 30 hours in 3 days.
Right.
It's just like stuff like that, super easy.
Yeah.
You know, especially on a long homestand. You know, if there's like six games in a week, that could be like 60, 70 hours.
Right. All right. So any other best parts? Any people you connect with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did the check-in for the international students.
Okay.
So we'd have international students come in and they'd work for, you know, the company at Target Field.
Are they like college students or?
It seems like it. I don't know. They seem a little older than me.
Okay.
A lot of them were surprised how young I was, which was funny.
Yeah.
But
you're tall. That helps.
Yeah, I guess
so. And you
got
deep voice. It also helps.
Very deep voice. So there's a lot of international students. They came in pretty much the same time I did. They started in like May. And some of them already left, but others will leave in like late September, early October.
To go to school or to go home to another country? Or
go to school, yeah.
Okay.
So they'll go back to their country and they'll go to school there.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
And they come over here through this program.
And so they just come here to work. They're not going to school here.
No.
Okay.
But it's, you know, they came here to, you know, learn the experience.
Yeah.
You know, what's it like in the great state of Minnesota?
Yeah. Were they fun to talk to?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. No, they're great. I knew them all pretty well, so I got to chat with them, talk to them, you know, hang out with them a lot. It was fun.
You have a pretty good grasp of geography too. Anyone from places that you hadn't heard about?
No, actually, I know, some of them were from Kazakhstan, which is just right beneath Russia, and then. I think the other group is the countries change every year, but this year was a lot of people from Kazakhstan, a lot of people from Thailand, and a lot of people from the Dominican Republic.
Ah, interesting.
But like a couple of years ago, they had Russians, you know, they had people from China, you know, it's people from all over the place.
Probably no Russians this year.
No Russians this year.
Yeah.
No. But yeah. It's just a bunch of different people from a bunch of different places.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, like, it's a group of people that'll, like, some people come back. Not many, but some do. And then others is like, they'll never be back in Minnesota.
Wow.
You know, it's like this is their one time they'll be in Minnesota in their entire life.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy to think about.
Did some of them choose Minnesota? Or was this just like a place that was a possibility for them? They would have rather have gone somewhere else.
I have no idea, actually. Yeah. I'm not sure if it was like specifically like, hey, you got chosen to go to the United States. Oh, where am I going? Minnesota. Oh. Mm. So Canada? No.
Yeah.
The United States. Oh, okay. But I think it was random, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know. Obviously, they'll take whatever chance they can to go to the U.S.
Yeah.
This isn't like something where they look at it and they're like, oh, no. See, I want to go to Montana, but do not take me to California.
Yeah.
They don't care. As long as they get to visit, you know, the U.S. and see what life is like out here. It's funny. Some of them took photos of them on the Metro Transit bus. You know, because it's just like, that's just how life is here. It's so different from where they live. It makes sense, you know?
And I guess our mass transit's pretty, you know, it runs pretty well. It's pretty clean.
Yeah, I use it.
Yeah.
I got my license now, though, so.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's a big one.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Worst parts of your job?
Worst parts?
Or least favorite parts, we'll say.
I guess my least favorite part was, it was just the schedule sometimes. You know, one week.
The length of the days?
Yeah, really the length of the days. To be honest with you, the job wasn't like that bad.
Yeah.
But just like, you know, working 10 hours in a day and then doing it again two more days after that is a lot.
Yeah, it seemed like they'd always have like two night games, which means you don't get home till midnight, and then a day game, which means you got to get out of here at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'd get like 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was the best for my health.
Yeah.
But again, a lot of hours.
Yeah.
But then other weeks, there'd be nothing.
Yeah, you'd have light weeks and then you're just reffing.
Yep.
So how what was different about reffing this year? It seemed like at the beginning there was some stress because it was like another level of, you know, what you had to know or, you know, starting to work adult games.
Yeah, I got to work adult games this year because, you know, I became an adult. 18 years old, I could work adult games.
Okay. Oh, that's that. You can't work in adult games.
No, because they don't want anyone who's a minor getting involved in adult games, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, I worked adult games.
Which are harder to ref though, the teenage games or the adult games?
Well, I never centered an adult game, or at least not yet. That might be something I do in the future, but at least in terms of like the adult games are like a little slower. Then, like, the teenage games, they're very fast-paced. There's a lot going on, you know. So you're constantly moving. The adult games are a little slower, but the adults talk a lot more. They trash talk. They talk...
To you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're kidding me? You look at me.
Do you send anyone?
As an AR, I'm not going to send anyone. But no one's been... One person got sent off one time because he grabbed the guy by the feet, lifted him up, so he was, like, dangling... Dropped him and then kicked him. It's like, okay,
you're out.
Yeah. I looked at the ref. Ref pulled out a red. I was like, yeah, that's gonna happen. there's no way that's not a red card.
Did he seem surprised at all?
Actually, yes.
Oh my.
Yes, he literally went on after the game, talked to the ref, and he's like, I didn't mean to do that. It's like, what do you mean you didn't mean to do that? You picked him up.
Oh.
And literally the ref's like, I don't care the intent. You're getting sent off for that. Yep. And he's like, oh, come on, man. And then just walked away. Like, it's like, is he serious
right
now?
That's unbelievable.
Mind you, this guy's like 40. This is a 40-year-old man.
I thought it was going to be like a 19-year-old or something.
No, no. Oh, okay. There are some people in this league that are really old. 70, 60.
Still playing?
Still playing.
It's pretty unbelievable. I know quite a few people in New York. I have some clients that I treat who are still older playing soccer. I mean, it can be a little tricky too, because if you get like, especially head shots, like if you get a ball kicked at your head, recovery when you're like 50 years old from getting hit in the head is tough.
Yeah, it's not the easiest.
You had some concussions in high school, and you recovered pretty quickly. But some people,
I mean, I never really wore glasses before I got one of my concussions. And
oh, that's right.
And here I am wearing them all the time.
Yeah.
It's just kind of the thing. I had a couple, three, I think. So, you know, after a while, it was like, what's the point?
You think you could have stopped a few more balls? Are you not making that excuse?
Not yet, at least.
Okay.
Maybe later. But for right now, I think my goalkeeping days are behind me. It was fun while it lasted, but...
Yeah. Hey, what about intramurals? Like just going to play or playing? What's the indoor version called? Futsal?
Oh, futsal. I am not good with the ball at my feet. Mm. So I'm going to have to take a hard pass on that. You see, like, I mean, maybe I could be a goalie there too, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, futsal, a little bit more of a struggle. Because there's a lot going on.
Yeah. It could be fun, though. There's not as much on the line. It's like...
Yeah, I have some friends who play it, too. So. Yeah,
that could be cool.
Yeah,
I played intramural basketball in college. I decided not to do the team.
There is a team at the University of Minnesota, but it's club.
Okay.
So it's not run by the university.
Oh, interesting.
It was kind of wonky. My friend did a club lacrosse.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like he had practices super late at night.
Yeah.
9:30 to like 11 p.m. is like...
It depends on who gets... I mean, I was on the crew team was club in college. And they you get to like vote in who you want to be the president. And then the coaches get sort of chosen by... There's like a little, I don't know, C-suite or whatever of other college students. But it was cool. And actually, like the guy who ran it for a while was such a sweet dude. And it kind of created a good culture. So everyone worked super hard. Everyone wanted to help. And they were pretty like we had to do a lot of, like you were expected to be at a lot of these different practices. And they would make us go to aerobics classes sometimes as part of our like winter training just to keep us in shape.
Wow, aerobics. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now see, the thing about it was, like, at least for, actually, I saw something on Instagram not too long ago with the rugby team. Mm-hmm. And it was very similar to what you mentioned. They had a C-suite-like group of players, and they were looking for a player manager.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like stuff like that is how all these club teams are run.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have the rugby team, you got the soccer team.
I feel like it's good practice, though, for, like, what you're going to deal with in a job sometimes.
Yeah, no, totally. That being said, I don't know if, like, the time investment for some people, I can understand why they don't do it.
Yeah,
because it's a lot of time. You know, that friend who did club lacrosse, he had to go to Arizona.
Right. We had regattas that we went, and we didn't have to go to all of them, but we went to a few, usually two or three in the spring and a couple in the fall.
And that University of Minnesota team's like nationally a very good team, so usually they get invited to nationals every year.
Okay.
So obviously my friend had to go to nationals too. So, you know, right. And that was right around finals time. So just like the timing of things, sometimes it can really like make it a time crunch on your schedule.
No, I know. But you have choices. I mean, it's like one of those things you can kind of say, hey, I got tough schedule coming up. I can't do this one. I mean, people might get upset, but whatever.
Right.
But intramurals are a little more laid back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of, you know, pick a bunch of friends to get together and go do it with. It's just a social activity.
Yeah, there's a rec center down at the University of Minnesota campus.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff goes on down there. Many floors, bunch of basketball courts. It's a lot of open space. That's where a lot of the recs happen.
Yeah.
It's funny, I saw on a job search website for the university, rec referee. And I was like, oh, that's not too bad. It said basketball, soccer, like, I forgot all the sports. Foosball was one of them. I remember that. Not foosball. Futsal.
Oh, futsal.
Foosball.
I mean, foosball would be pretty fun, too.
How old would you need a ref for
it's
that?
Kind of a game at a bar, though.
Yeah, I don't know how a referee would be. You know, that's the wrong placement of the hand there.
Yeah.
You can't do that in futsal, foosball. But, I was like, oh, okay. Because, you know, like, games pay pretty well for being a referee here in the state of Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
They mean they've upped the rates because not a lot of people ref. So, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But I was looking, I was like, oh, okay, this should be decent. 15 an hour.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
No.
All the, it, also, this is like college students rec. So this would, right. this would be harder than.
It'd be a lot of back talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd skip that.
Yeah, I'm skipping that too. I do have to find a job though for the school year.
Yeah.
I have to have one for the scholarship.
Yeah.
So.
Still working on it?
I mean, I just finished the last one yesterday.
I know. But like, how many hours a week are you supposed to have one?
So there really isn't anything.
Okay. You just have to have something.
Something, yeah. And to be honest with you, I'll just work a job just so I can like pay off the basic things.
Yeah. And I mean, I always try to find jobs like at that age, just that are social too, like that. You're like, oh, I might meet some cool people this way. And I doubt that you've been looking into the radio station as a thing. They don't pay at the radio station, or do they?
No,
pay
it's,
a little bit?
It's volunteer work.
It's volunteer, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll definitely give that a shot.
Yeah.
DJ Phoenix on the mic.
Okay, so driving.
I can drive.
That was a bit of a push. You came back from college in like mid-May, and then like a week later told me you had driver's test set up for June 20th.
Yeah.
But that we did it.
We did it. I have my license.
Yeah.
Now, of course, just having your license, as we've learned with everyone who knows about driving, just because you have your license doesn't mean you're a good driver.
That's for sure.
So I've been doing my due diligence about, you know, taking my time with it. Obviously, I feel pretty comfortable, you know.
Yeah, and you've been putting in a lot of hours of work, so it's a little hard to, like, when you have, like, 3-4 day stretches where we don't get to drive, and then you need to kind of catch up on a little rest.
Right, yeah.
Mind your health a little bit, you know. But like, we've done pretty well. I feel like you're doing highways. We're getting ready to go on a road trip tomorrow. You're going to get to drive.
We're going to Madison.
Some long highway miles.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun. And then we're heading to Iowa the week after.
Yeah, you can drive on that trip, too.
If Mom doesn't die before I get a chance to. See, the thing about, you know, my mom and my sister Iris, they are very particular about it, just you driving.
Well, they're just used to me driving. That's
and,
all.
You know, that's the thing. Obviously, you've been the only driver of the house since the beginning of time.
Yeah, and for anyone who's wondering, Mom doesn't drive because she grew up in New York City, and she's renewed her permit 3 times since we've been here. She did drive on that trip that we took to Yellowstone.
That was crazy.
But that was scary. I only lasted about 45 minutes, and I was like, all right, I'm ready to get back in the driver's seat.
I mean, to be fair, I felt like she was screaming behind the wheel.
Typical mom.
Yeah, that is very typical. But, you know, it's just getting used to it.
Yeah, you'll get there. I mean, I feel like even this, the road trip, I think I told you, I got a ticket when I had my permit. On a road trip, I was driving with grandma and my grandpa. Uh-huh. was asleep in the back seat. We were in the middle of Illinois somewhere, coming back from Indiana, and I was just going with traffic, and I don't remember what happened, but I pulled over or around a car, went over to the right lane, and then all of a sudden there were, you know, lights behind me, and maybe he thought I wasn't old enough to drive. I don't know, because I think I was only 15.
Yeah, because that's the earliest you can get your permit, right?
So I got pulled over. I was going like 9 miles over the speed limit, which isn't like crazy on a highway.
No.
But it was some kind of a speed trap type thing too.
Of course.
But anyway, they brought me into the back of the squad car to scare me, and grandma got pissed.
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you? Are you kidding me? And 9 miles over? That's ridiculous. Yeah.
But just sort of funny that they were so, my grandpa was comfortable enough, he just fell asleep. He actually started teaching me to drive in Iowa when I was like 14, because there's like farm permits, so a lot of kids down there had like farm permits. I think you can only go within like a 10-mile radius or something,
right.
But you can start driving when you're like 14.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense.
And they could get moped licenses at 12 or 13 or something.
I rock with the mopeds.
That was pretty fun. I mean, especially in a small town.
Do you know how much a moped is? It's only like...
Yeah, they're not that expensive.
It's like $1,000.
They're death machines, though.
Death machines?
I mean, they're scary.
It's a moped.
I had a scooter in Brooklyn for about 3 years.
A scooter is different than a moped, though.
It was actually... And in some ways, it handles just about the same or even better than a moped does. But it goes faster.
I'm just saying, a moped is a very cheap way to get fast transportation.
It is. It's not bad.
And I feel like it's pretty good for an environment like the University of Minnesota because, you know, everything's pretty close, but not close enough where you can, like, walk. Right. Obviously, you can walk, but it would take you 15, 20 minutes.
Right.
Versus a sick moped.
Yeah. I think the other thing that's kind of coming up right now, I've been pricing out these electric bikes. They're starting to come down in price, and they're basically like mopeds.
Yeah.
Only you have the option to, like, sort of get some of the energy from pedaling.
Yeah, our downstairs neighbor had one.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, like, how long ago? 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm. He's ahead of his time.
He was.
Yeah. No, he really was.
he biked everywhere. He biked, like, 100 and some miles a week because he drove to his job every day and brought his girls to school and all that stuff. It's crazy. But yeah, but that's not a bad option. I mean, a bike might be something to consider even because you don't have that far to go in a lot of places.
See, the only thing about a bike is it's pretty easy to steal. And being up in Dinkytown,
yeah,
I'm not really super confident about the idea of just having my bike somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like it's really a great idea to bring it into the apartment because bikes are kind of big and I don't know how well it would fit into an elevator. Like, right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a little...
Well, the electric bikes have built-in security stuff in them now.
Oh, see, now that's crazy.
So that you can track them, and there's something you can do where once you turn off the bike, it can't move at all. Like you can't, and they're heavier than just like bicycles are.
Right. People,
you might have to look into it.
People are very weary of Dinkytown.
Biking in Dinkytown?
Just being in Dinkytown.
Why?
Well, just all the stuff that you hear about it, you know. I have the Citizen app, right?
Yeah.
Tells you about, like, any events that happened.
Yeah.
And obviously we had, like, university alerts.
Yeah.
And most of the time, 90% of the time, these alerts would be in Dinkytown, you know?
Was it, what kind of crime? Was it, like, theft or?
Theft, carjackings, robberies. Obviously, like, nothing about a robbery into a building, but, like, personal belongings.
Yeah, mostly personal property stuff.
Yeah. Usually it'd be one or two people late at night, and they take, like, a purse and some personal belongings, some cash.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see it a lot on that Citizen app. It pops up.
Yeah.
And you know, oh, hey, an alert. Someone got robbed in Dinkytown. One of them was right in front of where I'm living.
Yeah.
So, of course, people are going to see stuff like that, and they're going to get a little concerned.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, but, like, that's just the life up there.
It's sort of common in urban, like, university towns.
I will say this, compared to like being in like the heart of the University of Minnesota, right where those light rail stops are, in the middle of it, nothing happens over there. It's different because Dinkytown is not considered part of the University of Minnesota campus.
Okay.
It's separate. Obviously, like, the university has their own police department, but like it not being on campus makes it seem like a more viable option, I guess, is how you could look at it. But I think, you know, with everything, you know, with all the people that are living there and how much stuff is going on, I think the community there makes it feel pretty, you know. Yeah,
when there's a lot of people out.
Yeah, like, it's fine. Obviously, there's Frat Row is right next to it. So there's just, you know, there's a lot going on. And obviously, no space is going to be perfect.
Right. No, it's, well, so at St. John's when I was a freshman, this is a pretty famous case in Minnesota. I don't know if anyone nationally or internationally will know this story, but there was this 11-year-old named Jacob Wetterling that was abducted my freshman year of college. And there was all sorts of suspects because the family might have been in some kind of religion that had a cultish kind of thing to it, but that was, certain things were debunked, and then they thought there was this chiropractor in the town that was... like a suspect, and
chiropractor.
They actually just, it was like 2 or 3 years ago, they found this through like
DNA.
Randomly 30 some years later, they found the guy, and he admitted to it and said, I can't believe I didn't get caught sooner.
It's crazy.
So, you know, I mean, even in a small town like that, like St. Joseph's, like, what, 2,000 or 3,000 tops with the college kids? Like, it's not a very big place. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think the best thing is to just be, like, aware of your environment. I mean, you know, we lived in New York for a long time. I knew people who got mugged in New York and lots of stuff that happened. But most of the time it was, like, not paying attention.
But, yeah. And I think it just comes with life.
Yeah.
And I think me and my friends are aware of that, and I think we're prepared for that.
Are you good about making sure the women you know are, like, together or walking with someone they know if it's at night?
Of course.
Okay.
It's important.
Yeah.
Even, you know, obviously, like, I could walk alone at night. I'm not saying that I would or I would recommend it, but, like, obviously,
because you're tall.
But it helps. Because of my stature, it helps.
Right, right.
You know, I'm less at risk. But really, it's just like anybody walking with someone else makes it
totally
much safer.
Yeah.
So I think that's just really important. You know, Sarah, anyone of my friends, you know, just being safe is really all that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think you know, at the U, I think we'll be just fine. And our nice, fancy, tall apartment buildings.
Yeah.
A lot of space. It's going to be interesting.
First apartment.
Yeah, first apartment. Whole new group of people, you know.
Yeah.
I got new roommates, too. It's going to be interesting. Some of my old friends from my Pioneer Hall days will be with me.
Yeah.
But then I also got, you know, two new guys who I'll be rooming with. So it'll be a little bit of a mix of the past and the future.
Yeah, that's cool. I like it.
We'll see how it goes. I should reach out to them because I haven't really done that yet.
The new ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
My girlfriend's kind of been on my butt about that a little bit.
Okay.
Sorry, Sarah.
That's all right. You're busy. This would be a good week to get caught up on a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that today. I've just been getting some college stuff ready. You know, with financial aid
stuff, yeah.
You know, I'll reach out to them today, get that all situated, and then just hopefully go from there because it's only 2 weeks away.
Yeah,
you know.
So let's talk a little health talk before we wrap today.
Yeah, this is a health podcast, so I guess that makes sense.
I mean, we're getting into what is life like for, you know, college student. I think it's almost good for a lot of people to sort of get a sense if they have someone going to college or have someone there and they don't talk to their kids much about this stuff.
That's important.
So this year was like, I mean, I'm sure there were some challenges as far as like day to day, like how well you eat.
Oh yeah.
Managing your partying habits and recovering.
those are some interesting experiences.
How did you do diet wise? Like in terms of quality of not so great.
Yeah, I don't.
It was funny that you would come home on Saturdays sometimes, like just, you know, take mass transit home and then basically come in to eat for like 8 hours and then go back to school.
Yeah, pretty much. Because
have special, you know, can we have salmon?
Yeah, some fish.
Yeah.
Because the fish there was questionable. The shrimp there wasn't that bad.
Okay.
But it's just the options weren't very plentiful.
Yeah.
You know, you only had a few choices.
Not a lot of green things. They had salad bars.
They had a salad bar. And, you know, I had a salad. I'd usually have a salad, some like stir-fry rice kind of thing. If they had shrimp, I'd take shrimp. Otherwise, I'd take some fries and I'd have a drink. And that would be my meal.
But the bad options are like what? Like pizza?
So I'd have pizza a lot.
Yeah.
Again, being pescatarian, there's not a lot of options for me.
Right.
Obviously, there were some options. But like half of the food court was like stuff I couldn't eat.
Did you do breakfast with any sort of regularity?
So yeah, I'd usually have eggs, yogurt, granola. If they had that, I would put it in my yogurt. I've never been a big cereal guy.
No,
I don't understand it. Funny thing is that at the U, I didn't really drink milk. Which is funny because
you're a big milk drinker. Sometimes.
I'm a big milk drinker.
You couldn't drink it for a while when you were a kid because you were having some lactose issues.
Which is super interesting.
Yeah.
Because I drink so much of it now. Like, I can drink, like, I used to do that too. I'm going to the state fair with my friends, I think, right when school starts. And when I had my injury last year, sprained my ankle right at the beginning of the year. So they went without me. One of my friends was able to chug like, it was some insane number. It was like a gallon of milk.
Yeah, we used to, when I went to school in England in Oxford for a semester, we were poor and like we would, they fed us every day, but it was like their dining hall food was just ridiculous stuff. It was like, they wanted to give us things that they thought were American. So they'd make us like pizza, but it would have like slices of tomato and leeks and things
leeks?
On it. It was just
what?
Crazy. Oddly enough, you kind of get to, and they also, they would heat it up the first time. And then when they brought it back out, they wouldn't heat it up. It would just be cold.
I mean, you know, I like cold pizza, but I understand.
This was not. So anyway, we'd go out to the pub sometimes, and pubs closed pretty early. I think they closed at like 10 o'clock or something. So we were never out super late. And then they had other clubs that you could go to later on, but I think they were mostly only open on the weekends. But we would come back, and they did have some kind of like, I think there were some Indian food trucks that would come by sometimes.
Oh, that's crazy.
But if you didn't see anything like that out, and or you just didn't have enough money to get anything, we'd come back from the pubs after drinking beer and cider.
Wow.
And we could get into the kitchen at the school, and they had those big vats of milk, and we would go in there and just take like big jugs of just slam after drinking. So I can't imagine that did anything good for your stomach. But maybe when you're young, you can just get away
with
that.
Maybe you can get away with it. But like my friend who drank that gallon of milk from Madison, of course, Wisconsin guy, a big old cheesehead, big Packers fan.
Yeah.
You know it. So, of course, that guy can do it.
Yeah.
It's funny because, I mean, again, it's something I can do too, I think. Now, I'm not going to say how good I am at drinking milk, but I think I could do it too.
Maybe you guys should have a milk drinking competition this year. You guys are about the same height. He's a little shorter than you, maybe.
The only person that's taller than me in my friend group is my high school friend.
Yeah,
he's 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
It's weird because I think I'm 6'3½", technically.
Sounds about right.
So like, do I round up? It's like, well, okay, well, if I say I'm 6'4", well, Justin's like actually 6'4". So like, what do I do there?
Yeah.
So it's like, he's like, yeah, I'm not really 6'5", though. So I was like, oh, it's tough.
I don't think you want to be that much taller, to be honest.
No, I think I'm good with the height that I'm at. It's funny because, one of my friends is like, I'm 5'1¾". Actually, shockingly, she's 5'2" now. She grew. Congratulations, you're 5'2" now. That must be a real honor.
Yes.
It's funny. You know, it's just stuff like that throughout the year. You know, you just talk about with your friends. You joke about here and there.
That's the best part about college. Like it's all those relationships you see my friend group, you know, we go up to St. John's and those guys now are totally, they'll come over and just talk to you because you just get to know each other so well during that time period. And then, you know, we kind of just keep coming up with excuses and ways to get together. And when you're younger, it's like weddings and, you know, a bunch of stuff. And then you just have to make your own rituals basically.
Mm-hmm. We got the man from Idaho, the Spud man.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, people from all over the place. Obviously, most of all the girls in our group are from the suburbs. But then you got me and my friend from
Minneapolis or other places?
Of Minneapolis, yeah. So, you know, you got your Orono, you know, out there, Chanhassen, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not that far away. Kind of far, not too far. But you got, you know, a guy from Idaho, which is just like, it's kind of crazy seeing all these people come from so far away. There's some people I knew at the business school who were from New York.
Yeah.
It's like, of all places to go from New York, you choose Minnesota?
Yeah.
Please do tell. What caused this?
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of, I have quite a few clients in New York whose kids are coming to like Oberlin, which is like, I think, Ohio, different places like around middle of the country. Iowa is actually a big destination. I think Iowa, like University of Iowa. And there's a few smaller ones. I think Grinnell or some of the places like that. So there's quite a few people who come. And even like McAllister here is a big like East Coast destination school for some reason.
I went to McAllister one time.
Yeah.
It's a nice campus. It's a smaller school. It's also private too.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a specific group of people that would enjoy McAllister. I just didn't know if that was kind of the right fit for me.
Right. Well, you got into St. John's, you know, you applied and got in the similar size, you know, school. But I actually do think that the U is a much better fit for you.
I got a shirt.
That's right. That's
I got a shirt from St. John's. It's like, go Johnnies. It's like the one red shirt I have.
Yeah. All right, so let's get back to the health topic. So we got so how did you do with sleep?
Bad.
Did you?
Some nights were bad. Okay. Some nights were fine, but sleeping on a bed like that, my feet would dangle over.
Yeah.
It wasn't a very big bed. Dorm bed's not very big.
Do you know anything about this bed you're going to have?
I think it's going to be bigger than the bed I had, okay. Which is nice. We will take improvement seriously. Like,
yeah,
that bed was very small.
All right. So that's something that you can improve on. How about exercise?
That's something I can definitely improve on.
Okay.
Obviously this summer, like I did.
Yeah. This summer you got a lot of exercise.
A lot of movement.
Yeah.
A lot of walking.
But during
around.
The school year, because the nice thing about exercise too, is it's like, if you go like really exert yourself, it's like good stress management too.
Yeah, that's something I need to be better about. Yeah,
that's where like maybe an intramural would be like a good thing to.
It's just something that getting used to the university life, it was one thing that I kind of sacrificed to adjust.
Yeah.
So.
How did you, so mental health wise, you got a therapist this year for the first time. How did you feel like you were doing prior to that? Or did you learn after having a therapist that this has been helpful for you in some ways and that this is actually a good thing to have during college?
You know, I think about it is like, you know, everyone kind of talks to each other about things.
Which is a kind of, that's helpful.
And that's a kind of therapy.
Yeah.
Talk about it with you guys. Yeah. Talk about it, you know, with my girlfriend, my friends.
But it's good to have like a neutral party.
Yeah.
Who also has a certain skill set.
They have, see, then that's the thing. They have the experience.
Yeah.
No diss to you guys. Obviously, you guys are great, but like a therapist is a trained professional.
Right.
They know how to work stuff like this. And I think, to be honest with you, I think I was doing fine beforehand.
Yeah.
But obviously having a therapist is always a nice luxury. Even when things are all right, just having someone to talk it out with is something very nice.
And there's like an accountability part of it. Like if you're like, okay, this is what I want to do or whatever, and you're kind of struggling to do some kind of thing, or like we talked about priorities, like then you have that person who's not like your parent or your girlfriend or your friend who's gonna, like, they're not gonna hold you to the same standard because, you know, that's not their job, and it gets sort of messy.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why, like, I work with a lot of therapists, I was starting to see like, okay, things are gonna start getting challenging this year, I have a feeling, or a little bit more, you know, first long-term relationship and just like college gets a little bit more like trying to figure out what you want to do a little bit more. So I thought this is like a good time to start before there's, you know, any sort of problems or any crisis or anything.
Mm-hmm. See, the thing about it was like that whole experience, college and the relationship, obviously, and you know, it's never going to be like a straightforward, smooth path.
Right.
There are going to be some bumps, some turns, you know, some
crazy. It's going to go on throughout your life. That's
exactly. And that's the thing. There's always bumps and turns and crazy changes.
Right.
But, you know, but it's kind of just like this first year was just figuring out, you know, okay, well, how do you deal with it? How do you manage it?
Yeah.
You know, after a discussion, where do you go from there? You know, it's kind of just like stuff like that is what I've learned to manage. And
yeah. And there's like I'm sure your therapist has like some strategy for you and gives you some of those kinds of things.
Oh yeah. My therapist has given me a lot of great strategies that I appreciate, and I think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
I think they've helped me out, and you know, I think it's made my relationships better. You know, I appreciate them a lot. I like what I have.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a huge part of it. I mean, there's like they do, because sometimes it's hard to like tune into like what you feel gratitude for, but when you, and sometimes going away to college, like did you think differently about us as parents after you came back from college or during college after like meeting other people?
Not really.
Yeah, you felt the same.
I feel the same about you guys. Okay. I think you guys are great.
Okay.
Everybody's parents are going to be different. That's
right,
a given.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think, I mean, to be fair, at college we didn't talk about our parents a lot.
Right.
So... I don't know exactly how much. Your parent does accounting? Wow, that's crazy.
That's interesting.
Oh, man. My parent is a dentist. I don't know. I'm just like running through things.
Yeah, no, it's that. There's a big part of like finding those kinds of people in your life that they're not going to be your therapist, obviously, but that you feel comfortable, you know, being able to be vulnerable with, because that's one of the hard things in life.
Yeah.
You get a group of those people around you, you're good, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, my relationship has given me someone I can be vulnerable with. And that's something I appreciate a lot.
Totally.
You know, obviously being the first one, you learn a lot.
Yeah. There's a learning curve for sure.
Yeah, there's been a learning curve, but I've enjoyed it throughout it all.
How are you feeling about your field of study? Like your chosen field of study, which you're in the business school at Carleton at the University of Minnesota.
It's the right choice.
Yeah.
I think it is. I just don't know where specifically.
Right.
That's just the one thing I have to decide.
Yeah.
Obviously some people do sports management. Some people do like other types of stuff that are at other schools, but you know, personally, I don't know. I just don't think that's the right fit for me.
Right.
I think the Carleton's the right choice, and I just have to, you know, go from there and figure out, okay, I'm at Carleton, but where do I, what major do I choose?
Yeah.
Do I do a minor? You know, there's a bunch of things to decide.
Yeah. And it's good to find, like, eventually you kind of like you have an advisor and you have a really good professor or somebody who just, you know, that you feel the same way as you do with your friends. You're like, I feel like I can talk to this person. I'm going to go ask them some more questions.
Yeah. I had some good professors that I enjoyed this past semesters. Maybe others, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But, I had a good time, and I hope that I have professors that I enjoy this year too.
I think it's going to be an exciting year.
Oh, yeah.
I remember sophomore year, like, I kind of remember the beginning being like, there just felt like a little pressure, like, I got to get this figured out. Like, because I was thinking I was going to be pre-law.
I've never heard this. Pre-law.
Yeah, I was still thinking about business.
Jeremy John Quimby, the lawyer. Oh.
For anyone who didn't know my middle name.
Yes, I like to say it a lot.
So, yes, I was thinking about, I still was kind of interested in business, but I think maybe this is my nature, like being a Libra, fairness.
Okay, no, zodiac signs, man.
Okay, you're not going with that?
I will say this.
Yeah.
I think, you know, to be fair, for the longest time, I thought I was a Leo. I'm actually a Virgo.
I know that.
I didn't. So
not that important to you.
I mean, it's not that it's not, I mean,
yeah, no, I guess. I'm sort of the same. I think there's like, it's, I have curiosity about it. I think there's kind of interesting stuff about it, but.
The only thing I have to say about it is it's all right. I just don't know if like it has to be the biggest deal.
No.
Because then I feel like people get all caught up in like the personalities of these zodiac signs. Like,
but as you get older, I think you're going to find, for whatever reason, you end up having like a lot of a certain kind of sign around you.
And see, here's the, well, I mean, we have two May birthdays in here, so.
I have a lot of Tauruses around me, and I have a lot of, I have a lot of other Libras and a lot of Scorpios, which is sort of odd, but that I don't have a lot of other signs in my tight group, which is strange.
Yeah, see, like, that's the thing, like, a lot of Virgos, because me and a couple friends were on the same kind of birthday time, so.
Summer birthdays, or?
September,
okay.
Right, got a couple Septembers, so you know, and then I'm late August, so that makes us all Virgos. Yeah. So I got a couple Virgos, but I think it's funny because I feel like if you read it and you see like, oh, you know, Virgos are like this, 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 and that, people start to like become it.
Yeah,
you know, it's something that can. It's something that I think is true.
Yeah,
that happens after a while. If you know, you I don't want to say like fake it till you make it, but like kind of like that, read it until you believe it.
Right. Yeah, and I think maybe you find something. I think sometimes, you know, it's like any bit of text. You're like, you look at it and you're like, oh, I think this is true out of that. And right. You're going to do that with anything. So
that's a little bit, but you know, new people, new faces, and a new year at the University of Minnesota. Go Gophers.
Go Gophers. Anything else? I feel like we covered a lot.
Yeah, we did cover a lot.
Yeah, any other thoughts?
Just a tip. Oh. Don't sprain your ankle day two of the new school year.
That was something else. But, you know, maybe it was like meant to be, and maybe you guys everyone wouldn't have gotten as tight had you not hurt yourself right away. You never know. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, because it's funny. I saw them all the first day, and then I come back, and they're like, what happened?
It's
like...
Right. It's Catalyst. All right, man. Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing with everybody.
Yes, of course.
We'll try to do this again. We only got one more year. We've been doing this is like Teens Talk Health. This is the last year. You'll be 19 next week.
Yeah, 19 next week. Maybe we'll do one or two more before
okay,
I turn 20.
Let's try to squeeze them in.
All right.
Thanks, man. Phoenix Ferrari, folks. Always great to have him on here. He's a great sharer. And I appreciate his honesty in all these things. It's actually made it a lot easier as a parent. And people ask me a lot of times, how do I get a teenager to share with me, with us as parents? And I don't have any secret formula to it. I think I just try to stay open and curious. And, you know, there are times when, you know, clearly I'm concerned about safety. You can let those things be known. But most of the time, especially at this age, you just have to listen and see what they're looking for. And sometimes just ask questions. And a lot of times he'll just come to us too when he knows that he has a question and that we might have an answer. But that's about as simple as I can make it. I don't have any special insights. And, you know, every child is different. And, we have two. We've got another round coming here. We'll see how that goes. But I feel like we're developing similar relationships with our daughter who's just started middle school. And we may have her on the show here at some point as Phoenix transitions into his adult years. Now, let me know what you thought of this topic of conversation. Let me know if there's any insights that you got from us chatting with each other. You can reach out to me anytime at my email, jeremy@highway2.health. Thanks for listening and for all that you do. Be good to yourself, be kind to each other, and take care of your planet. Be well, my friends.